And if it's good morning, that so be it. You can listen to my radio program on my website, you know, 24 hours a day, minus the 3 hours, so it's 21 hours. You can listen before the new one comes on. So I haven't decided what I want to talk today. I was thinking of cancer. Half of you die from cancer, and then the other half dies from eating too much. So I thought that 50-50 is what it roughly is. Something should be said about it. But I don't think you will like what I hear. So I'm going to try to, minimize it a little bit so the shock doesn't stop you from listening to me. If you'd like to call me, I'm going to talk about food and cancer. But cancer not today. Half of you are going to die from that, and you don't need to. I have spent my lifetime almost in every hospital, in hospitals, learning that how little they know about medicine. What they know about medicine is value. It's wonderful that you can put somebody's finger back on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's wonderful. But for the most part, if you could control your horse, which is your body, you know, you got a spirit and your horse is your body. And you ride it and you train it and to make the little filly do what you want. But what if the little filly has hold of you? And somebody gives it a whack. That's called stress. You're not a very good horse rider. I can ride a horse. I'm pretty good at it. Used to be pretty good at it. Round up cattle, stuff like that. So, you know, the horse knows. I can tell you a little story just for the hell of it or for the heaven of it. So I went riding with my daughter. What were we talking about, you know, 40 years ago? And so I didn't have a horse, and she likes to ride horses. She loves horses. She has a big ranch now. But where we hired the horses, the person we did business with didn't like me and gave me a horse. But what I didn't know when I came back, when I said, that's the best ride I ever had, it had turned out to be the worst one. And it was slated to be turned into whatever it is when you kill it. See? So we all had a laugh at that because it was who was sitting on the horse. It was me. I'm not the greatest horse rider, but it had an effect on the horse. And I'm saying your horse is your body. And your soul is the rider. And so how is it you lost control over it? It goes much further than that, because if all of you lose control over your lives, then something's going to take it over, and it's going to happen very soon. So I'm going to just fuddle around a little bit and sort of make you or ask you to look forward to some point where I will explain something. And what better how to do this is for you to rise to the occasion of my need for me to explain to some living creature? That's you listening. Because most of you are overweight and dying from it. You will die mostly from your compulsion to eat. It's the sleeping death of hypnosis, hypnotic foods. Well, you know, the Wicked Queen searched her books of magic spells. And for a horrid spell to work on Snow White. Oh, what should it be? She muttered to herself. The poisoned apple and the sleeping death. Perfect. Copyright Walt Disney Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I like that. I wish they come back with that one. So, you know, Walt Disney really chose a very good subject as it applies to you. The apple, which is poison, but it's normally not poison, but it's a poison, a forbidden fruit. You eat forbidden fruit. In the old days, there wasn't any forbidden fruit, really. There wasn't enough money for it anyway to produce it. But all he could get is a little grain. Okay, we'll be right back.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Good evening again. I do hope you heard the opening salvo of my program. And I was weighing in my mind, which is not much really to weigh, whether I should talk about the two dangerous sicknesses of our century, physical that is, and the cause of those sicknesses. Cancer will kill half of you. Yes, you will die not having lived. Sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but what you eat and how you think, ego, or the other side of it, other side of ego, is no ego but love, having the spirit of that was lost in paradise. It's a fundamental, it's a transformation. Basically, it's fundamental transformation if you can find that place where the constitution of the soul lives. I'm trying to put words around it. And you would not die from anything except being persecuted, etc., etc. So, I think then I shall talk about the sleeping death. Or, another word to say that, is the hypnosis of food. The power that food has over you. And we don't think of it because it's so pleasurable. We think it's serving us. But it just serves us right. My daughter was very overweight, and I warned her about that. So she, thank God she's awakened. And she's returned to her relationship with her husband because she was tending to, you know, overpower him in a sense, for her own security, that so she took on too much for herself and looked very happy about doing it, but then the anxiety of not having the right position with her husband, which they have now, thank God, it's a wonderful family now. That's a hard lesson, but she had operations, she almost died, and she's over 60, so there it is. So now, I don't want it to happen to you, but she didn't listen. And my children have a right not to listen. None of them are perfect. You know, some of them are really weird. Excuse me for saying that. But I can't get them to see that. And I won't be able to get many of you to see it. I wish I could. But I can't force it on you. I can't make you not eat. I don't want to give you a system where you eat better. That won't do it either. See, that won't do it because it's not you in charge of you. The sleeping death The wicked womb. Listen, I said this in the program, so let me start here with what I opened the program with, which is really cool. The wicked witch searched her books of magic spells, and for a horrid spell to work on Snow White. What shall it be, she muttered to herself. Ah, the poison apple. Poison apple. And a sleeping death, that's perfect. Walt Disney, copyright. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Now that's a very good, interesting discussion. The apples are okay. But let me tell you a story about an apple. You see, I'm not going to come to my point right away because I scare the bejeebies out of you. Because they're so simple, it'll upset you. So I'm just going to give it to you piecemeal. So I tell you a story about eating an apple. And this is, has a meaning to it, a very interesting meaning. My mother was a good woman, and she loves to cook. And she loves the feeling pride in me saying, oh, that's really wonderful, Mom. It's really good. Oh, yes, darling, that's like, I'm glad you like it. But there's something about that, too, that she wasn't aware of, but I became aware of it. So let me say something in the very beginning of this. You'll forgive me. We've got a couple of hours here. We don't have to rush to it all at once. So I got hungry, and it was almost lunchtime or dinner time. So I picked up an apple, and I started to put my teeth into it. All of a sudden, she grabbed it from me, in a nice way, of course. And she says, that's not dinner. I said, no, why isn't it dinner? She says, let me show you what dinner is. So she took a little scouring thing and took out the core. Then she spread it with all kinds of goodies, say raisins and God knows what. You know, the kind of mincemeat stuff. And she packed it full. And then she put sugar on it. I think she did, but it was when she put it in the oven, it turned into a brown, golden color. And she handed me this apple. And she says, that's dinner. Now, I had to look up. I said to myself, that doesn't make any sense. But I didn't know what sense it didn't make. I can remember that moment of saying, just a minute. What's going on here? How is it that apple from a tree isn't dinner until she makes it? She's taken the role of God. I don't remember where that came from at that time. It may have been later. Because it wasn't a shock. It was an epiphany. Oh, it's really stupid. Now, what she did, really, looking back on it, as a mature person, and no fault to her, really no fault. She didn't know what she's doing. She does what every other woman does. She you know, loves her man. She loves her kids. She wants them fed right. But they get in the way. What is wrong with it, my dear young ladies, is what's wrong with it when you give dinner in that way and looking for approval, which is obviously the case, because an apple from a tree, the thanks would go to God if you could put God in the scene, correct? And so what she's done without realizing it, and what you do without realizing it, you're taking the place of God. Now, just cooking the dinner is not the big deal. It is the fact that you take the place of God who gave you the food. So because you've changed it and put yourself in the place of the giver, that is dangerous. I think this way. I brought myself up, if I can say that way. Not that I really did, but my Father in Heaven did that. He gave me to see that. I was just a kid, 10 years old, 9, I can't remember. But I would think about these things. That's a good thing I do, and it's a good thing you start to think about this. How do you give a dinner to your children? How it is that you're doing is could be very deleterious or beneficial. Now, when you have, say, prayers before, you know, let us pray and thank God for our food, that doesn't really neutralize it. It's just a bunch of words. It's nice. It's poetic. Well, I don't know if it's poetic, but still, it's a nice gesture. But doesn't take the onus off the cook. See, I hope I used the word onus correct. So, let me give you the phone number so you can call in. Because already I'm saying that if you eat the forbidden fruit, now listen, I'm not joking. If you make the fruit forbidden by getting in the way of God, in other words, I saw the fruit coming from the tree. Her interference, God bless her soul, disturbed me. It didn't disturb me like that. No. It just didn't seem right. It was obvious. And so I'm a guy that can see everything is not obvious to everybody else. Because you never heard that before. But you might have thought of it. And the number to call is 800-866-8883. So I want to talk about cancer later, maybe next week. It may take a week to get through this because I'm stringing it out because I don't want to frighten you. But frighten you, I have to. When I say frighten you, you're frightened that I might convince you not to eat all that stuff. There's something in you that doesn't want to hear me. Please overcome that. You're beginning to panic already. You are going to die from what you eat. Do you understand that? You are for sure going to die, and there's a disease that comes from eating the wrong foods. But then, of course, the wrong, whatever wrong is, has to precede it. So that way you'll eat the forbidden fruit. Or the fruit, if it gives you too much pleasure to eat it or give it, will also kill your family. You make them, you see, you have, I look in the stores. I'm taking care of my wife, and she doesn't walk as well as I do. And I go out and I run around, and she tries to run around past me, or walks with me with the thing that you put the food in, what you call it, the basket with wheels. And so I see a whole store full of freaking junk, and people, and I watch what people buy. And I'm astonished. See, when I say astonished, I'm used to it, so I'm not astonished anymore. I know that for years and years and years and years and years. So what is the attraction for forbidden fruit? In the days of Jesus, they didn't have enough money to buy the forbidden fruit. But even then, if you put food in your mouth and you've got anger in you, you'll tend to want to overeat even that which is good. See, what is good for you. It doesn't go to the same place. So let me put that aside and discuss this because people are beginning to call. And the reason why I tend to depart from my subject is because not everybody hears this program at the same time. And just for clarity, this program starts 8 p.m. West Coast time and finishes 9 p.m. say West Coast time. But the programs we do every day, It's six, but it goes to a specific time, yes. 9 to 11, but it actually goes 3 hours for some places. That's what I'm saying. The only time you can call me is those two first hours. That's what I'm saying. All right. And that could be any time in other places, in other stations. They decide where to call me. All right. And so we break away a little bit now. We'll be right back. Oh, hello, everybody. I was just drinking some water. Gulp, 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 gulp. There it's gone. Excuse me, I'm a little freaky this evening. All right, we got a caller, 800-866. I have a good, a comical side of me. I like to do magic tricks to kids. And, you know, when I'm in a group of people, I'm the star of the show, so to speak, because I have so much knowledge of when the war was on, you know, in the beginning of war, when I wasn't in the military yet. We were stuck in my little apartment with the bombs coming down, stuff like that. And I read the encyclopedia, I began to do that, and then it wasn't enough. I was learning magic tricks. It was fun. Then I realized there's oh my God, there's such a thing as real magic. And there is such a thing. Jesus, he made water. I almost said the other way around, wine into, I had to make wine into water. I said, God, the devil made me say that. But he made water into wine. That's different. I think that's remarkable in both cases, if you want to think for a minute. All right, now I'll take my first call. William in Massachusetts. Hello, William.
Hello, Roy. This is William in Western Mass.
Oh, you got it's you that by that voice like that. You still
oh,
have
no.
that voice.
Oh no! Not me again.
Oh boy! Why can't you? It's awful.
Oh, it's terrible.
You're not, it's not going to get you anywhere. Sometimes you're fooling me.
I'm not fooling you. I swear.
Oh well, I believe
but anyways.
You.
That's not the reason why I called,
right.
Roy.
Yeah, okay. I didn't mean to poke fun at you. I just wanted you to realize you could. Listen, I wanted, before you ask me anything, please, just forget, bear with me a second, because I have to clarify this and not, so I'm not such a bad guy. When I came to America, I used to send cardboard phonograph records. You can say it's 25 cents, and you can say, hey, Mom, you know, and send it.
Cardboard. They made cardboard in those days.
Yeah, I know, but it was I just call it cardboard. I don't know what it was made of. They're just cheap phonograph records.
Vinyl,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, okay, that's good enough. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
okay. So, anyway, she came and was in a bag, and she left it behind, and I listened to myself. I sounded like a Cockney. I said, that's me. I immediately start to speak good English. Now, if I can do it, so can you. You don't have to go on talking like that. It will just drive people away and drive them mad and make them laugh at you. I don't mean to want to do that. I don't want you to see, do nothing between the time I spoke to you about that three times before. And you're still doing it.
How about I use chloroseptic or something?
No, I think it's an attitude. I think
it's an attitude. How do you get a voice from an attitude?
Well, you do. You get lots of things from having
emotions. Project a voice from an attitude.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you should just look at it. And learn to ride your horse better.
I rode a Palomino once. It was fun.
Yeah. Yes, what I mean is that your body is your horse. I try to make the point. And you are the rider. And the horse will do whatever you train it to do. But you see, the human body is much more sophisticated, and it will do exactly what you want it to do, as long as it, especially if it's pure. and meaningful. If you lose that, if you are sinful, whereas sin means the departure from reality, God the reality, then all kinds of bad things happen. Your voice gives you away. As my voice will give me away in the positive, your voice gives it away in the negative. And I insist that you can change that. If you...
So you're saying basically that I have a lot of negativity in my life.
I say yes. It's there.
Okay, so what do I do about that?
Well, what would you expect me to say?
Well, I would expect you to say use a 7-minute concentration meditation.
Well, yes, it's not just... That doesn't work unless you're willing to be lifted into a different dimension from being lost in your thoughts and struggling with emotions, see.
I had an exorcism once. You know, I was on the kitchen floor. I was reeling around in pain and all kinds of pain, like Curly on the Three Stooges, you know,
yes.
Around the floor like that.
I'm glad you're not angry with me about this, because I am making a little fun of you, but I just don't mean it to put you down. I want to bring you up. And I don't think anybody would you know, say anything, just giggle. See?
Oh, nobody will give me the time of day. Only you're the only person that will give me the time of day.
And that's why I give you the time of day, because I care.
I know. You're the only person that cares around here.
Well... Would you do me yourself a favor and me? Would you consider that before you go any further? Because
don't consider. Remind me again. Consider.
Consider doing the meditation.
Yes.
And do it with your heart. Meaning, you can do it mechanically, and get nowhere.
Yes.
Don't expect that to make you well. The 7-minute meditation. Makes nobody well. It doesn't cure anything. And I want that to be, you know, clear.
Well,
but what it does is brings you to your heart's desire in the positive, away from the negative.
Well, Roy, I have to tell you, I ordered the download Christianity Today, and I'm listening to that, and it's very interesting.
Well, look, my friend, it's not just interesting. What I wanted to do, what that meditation does, that 7-minute meditation is very successful. And right now we have a shipment of secure stress devices, which is completely have a different look, design's different.
Oh, really?
But what we've added to it, we've added the 7-minute meditation to everything else. So the first thing everybody hears is the 7-minute meditation, and probably you won't need any more after that.
Yeah.
But if you have your heart secretly wants to find purpose, because this life, the one you're living, you and I are living, is only a tiny, tiny part of forever.
See? Yes, I had a vision once. I don't know. I had an out-of-body experience once. Can I tell you about it?
No, not now.
Okay.
That's because it takes a lot of time and there's a lot of people waiting. And I just think what I've said to you should be enough for the time being. I've got to give you in little sips, you know, little bits and pieces. But there's people waiting for me that could get it right away. So I'd have got to walk right away, and talk to my next caller. All right, we're going to go William in Mass and I don't know. Who's next, if any? Okay, so that gives me, oh dear. Well... May I suggest, that you stop being a coward or stop being stingy You see, it doesn't cost you anything. So there's an obligation, a natural inborn obligation. If I help you, you would want to pay for it. Don't you think that would be correct? And then because this is not a business as usual, but, you know, this is a non-profit organization, which is equivalent to the Catholic Church, the same political status. I don't know what other words to use. Same thing. 501c3 as high as you can go. And so we are in the business of not being business. See, but this is a business anyway, so it seems like it's ridiculous when you say it, but we have to be businesslike. And you have to have a good heart. And if you have a good heart, then the 7-minute meditation will work. If you don't have a good heart, you'll get upset and you'll try and you try and you try. And, you know, see everybody getting better and you try harder and harder. And that's the very thing I don't want you to do. The person who does this has an intrinsic, built-in, something or other that only a percentage of people seems to have, although they have it, they don't seek. They're too pleasured in everything that gives pleasure. And one of those pleasures, the most dangerous one of all, is called food, because it looks so innocent. The first thing it did in China when they were starving is food. And then they start getting all the diseases of food. When they were getting the diseases of no food, it's, you know what I mean, it's six of one and half a dozen of the other. But you can eat the right food. And I can tell you this. If you're incarcerated in a Japanese, you know, prison camp, and all they gave you was rice, white rice, which is really not good for you, but that's all you had. Some people would die, and some people will live. Because, you know, when you think of a cow eating grass, you can't grasp where it gets all that protein from and becomes so healthy. That's all it eats, is grass and dry grass. So You can adapt, even though you have little money and you're stuck in a prison camp like that, and you're not angry and you're living in the presence. God can actually turn that white rice that would kill everybody else if they lived long enough with it into something quite magical. That's what I'm trying to say here. Something's magic here. Be right back.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
With the prelude of the sleeping death or the hypnosis of food. And I want to just give you something about food that happened in my life. See? And this is important. Because the things that happen in your life are important, but you may, throw it aside because it seems so silly. But let me tell you something that was really silly, and I mentioned it before, and this is the appropriate forum for it. And it's thus. So I'm in a swimming pool. I've said this before, but it belongs now in context to what I've been saying. So I was swimming in the pool in a friend's house who's, you know, kind of a millionaire guy, and he's a nice, it's a beautiful surrounding. And so he's been, he was my best friend until he passed away a long time, you know, a long time ago. And when he died, his wife didn't call me and say he's gone. She hated me because I helped him to see how to deal with her. You know, so, you know, that's the usual, you know, thing. Anyway, when it comes to food, I'm not into food. So when I'm maybe 23 or 24 years old, before I was married, I was, you know, an athlete in many ways. I could do anything, horse ride, wrestle, judo, anything. But anyway, I was just sitting in the pool with my legs crossed like Jesus with nails in it, and in the feet, and arms spread, you know, relaxing on the concrete there, in the water. And something says, potato. Hey? Well, that's okay one time, but it said it twice. I said, what? No, it didn't say it twice. It did it dozens of times. I said, what is that? Well, I asked the question, and I got the answer. Not completely, until I was older. When I look back on it, there's more to it, meets the eye or ear. But what it was, is a relationship with food as if it was real when you think of it. Now, I'm going to go back and come back to this to show the mystery of this. So what can control you is almost impossible to understand, except I can give you last week's experience with a lady who's worked for me 14 years. I've known her. She's retired, and she does nice things for me. And we're good friends, okay? She does a little bit of shuttling between the foundation because I can't really go down there because my wife is not well, and so I have to take care of her. It's no, I don't have to. It's fine. I don't mind that a bit. I took until my show here. So I want to connect what I've said before to what I've said before. And that is, in this case, you know, we had a nice conversation, always do. She makes some remarks on my thesis of you know, gravity. And then I see her to the door and say, take care. And all of a sudden she turned around and a lot of anger rose up. She says, that's wrong. What's wrong with me? I said, what do you mean, what's wrong with you? She said, well, you'll understand it. My mother was a bitch. I mean, she was really wicked. Beat me, make me submit. Has control over me into my, you know, my growing up years. And then I said to myself when she said that, screw you. I'm not going to take care of myself. I'm going to be free. I'm going to walk on the precipice. I'll dance on my head until my face is turning green. See, it doesn't make any sense, of course, but everything that didn't make sense. I just added a few things because I can't remember how she said it. But you get the point. She says, that is a trigger. I said that. That is a trigger you never seen before, but it was there. And as long as the trigger is there, the behavior obeys. And when the behavior behaves, it gets you into trouble. When it gets you in trouble, you get angry. And angry is the energy you feel towards everything that's wrong, beginning with your mother. She got it. Immediately, whatever problem she had disappears. They always do, right away, almost in front of my nose. And so now we come back to the... See how simple it is. Something kind turned into, but she said, because you said it, I could see it. Whereas when anybody else said it, it really doesn't mean it. They don't even realize what they're saying, but take care. And people don't. It's just a word you say. And that word is a hypnotic, has a hypnotic continuum. Do you understand what's going on in your head? You do not. Please, I beg you, to take care that you listen to me every night and ask the right questions. Talk to me. And let me hear what you're saying. Like that poor gentleman a little while ago, I can't help him yet. But he's there. I make fun of him, he doesn't get upset. Because he really can't change it. But he can. But he doesn't know how to train his horse, which is his body. That's all. He wasn't born to talk like that. I can tell that. He may have been that way a long time. And so what the potato thing did, you know, now we go back to the potato thing. Because I haven't made my point on that yet. So when I was sitting on the, lazying back on the concrete in the water with my legs, you know, crossed like Jesus, you know, the ankles crossed like him and my arms spread eagle-like, this thing that came, potato, in my head, potato. Well, what it was really saying is, all of a sudden, I got a sort of relief. Well, it wasn't really a relief, but I saw that it was a potato in my head. In other words, the potato had become the effect of the real thing. See? And can make me hungry for it and whatever that is for you. And so the more you, then it becomes a hypnotic conditioning. So when you think of it, your mouth waters and you'll eat potato after potato after potato. Because the potato is in your head. It has to be filled. So it is in you. I don't know if it's hard to say. But I was then immediately free. Not that I needed to be free, although it helped me later in life by recalling this experiment. So I don't, at this minute, if you ask me what my favorite food is, I haven't got one. I eat what's available. And that's good. I mean, even bad food can be good. But in your case, good food can be bad. As I illustrated with rice, which isn't very good white rice. I don't recommend it as your diet. But if you're in the prison camp and you have a good attitude, lots of people will die from eating it because it doesn't contain what it should. But there's something about magical about other people who seem to be able to thrive on that. That reminds me, and I'm going to talk to a caller if you want to call in right now. It's 800-866-8883. Okay, 800-866-8883. So I have a lawyer friend who was in the Second World War, and he liberated the Jewish people from their camps, and people were lying around skeletons and dying. Living, walking skeletons and all dying all over the place. And scumbags, you know, just walking and stepping over them. Of course, they did what they should do, or what commands tell them they shouldn't. They killed them all. But before they did, I'm glad they did that, is to ask the man who was there, who looked perfectly normal, eating the same food, whatever it was. And they said, "How long have you been here?" He says, "About 5 years, 4 years, I forget." He says, "But did you eat the food that was here?" "Yes." He said, "Well, how is it you don't look like them?" He says, "All I know is this. When the Germans came to Poland, they killed my four daughters in front of my face." That's the kind of thing that's going to happen to you if you don't get your act together. It's coming. It's coming. And you better watch the left wing of the United States, the left wing. They're the ones that will take you over and they will eat you for dinner. Forgive me for saying that. They're a dangerous lot. But many of them are broken. They don't realize what they're being made to do. But they're appeasers. And the appeaser is an appeaser to the strongest horse. And so therefore, when ISIS gets here, they'll change from me being an American to doing what ISIS wants. That's what happens. You always have, you know, traitors like that. They save their own skin. You have to be an appeaser for that. You have to change bosses. The bigger the boss, the bigger the horse, the more you give yourself to it. You surrender to it. What a way to die, to see other people die. That's what you'll do. And that's what they will do if you have a war here. Sorry, I just took away the point I'm making. I can't help it, but, you know, the devil made me say that, so to speak. And so, let me continue. So he says, when that happened, I felt a terrible rage. And just as about to feel the rage, something says you'll become like them. And then he stopped. And you would say, how could he not? How could he stop? What kind of human being is this that sees four daughters slaughtered in front and not hate bastards? Okay? But he stopped. Somehow disconnected from it, it's done. He says, and they brought me here, and I've been this way ever since. What does that tell you? Let me see what time it is. I've been speaking for an hour. Maybe I should go back. Is it 45 minutes? Okay, so is there somebody who's overweight? Call me. Before you have to have an operation like my daughter did, they almost killed her. Okay, but she's learned a lesson, and all right. Let me speak to you. Let me see. Where is this? I'm gonna move my microphone. Hear it like that. And oops. You could just imagine me. I want to read you something. Look, if you use the meditation, I tell you that we have a new meditation exercise. And it's a little tiny computer that fits in your wallet. It's really, really nice little computer. It's $59 plus the shipping. I don't know what that is. We used to do include the SIP shipping, but we can't afford that anymore. It's a computer with earphones and a charger. And it has what's free on the website. The 7-minute meditation, do that first. And you may never, don't look for doing more yet. It will do everything. And then maybe you want to, you know, search the rest of it, which is about another 2 hours. Which is interesting. But not necessary. But it could be necessary if it doesn't quite work. There's something you could fall back on for more stubborn people. See, the first 7-minute meditation is for not so stubborn people. So the meditation is very, very simple. Too simple for words. It should remain simple, never becoming complex. I'm reading from this now. I have this many years ago, and I just found a copy of it. So, where do you end? In fact, so little our ego may find it very difficult, perhaps unacceptable, because of its simplicity. What's the use of me if everything's simple? That's a good question you should ask me. So the results are so profound that we tend to interrupt the process and spoil everything by trying to explain or analyze how it works. I can't tell you how it works, it just does. It connects you to your creator, so lots of things work. But he's not going to tell you how it's done any more than the bad guy is going to tell you what it's done. He'll put it in you. It makes it life easier for you. So I'm talking to you, and he's talking through me to you. You think I prepared this program? I got it on my screen, and it opened up. Wicked Queen searched her books for the magic spell, you know, the horrid spell for Snow White, you know that. So here I am, just picking up pieces of paper and doing things. And just doing things just that, and that's what it is. So.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Oh, so we have another hour coming up in 7 minutes. But yes. So I'm going to start again about the sleeping death. Because sleep, food puts you to sleep. It's like a drug if you misuse it. And you may not know. It gives you pleasure. You love to sit and eat with people. It is nothing wrong with it. Don't get me wrong. But it's how you eat it. It's who's eating it. Maybe you've got to be very careful if something might be eating you. For instance, if food acts as a drug, and it does, you become addicted to it. When it becomes addicted to it, it is equivalent to the I'm trying to find the Wolf Shore idea. Do you remember that name? Chef or something idea. I can't remember that. Boy idea. Yes, it was coming to me. I haven't used that word for a long time. Boy idea. That's it. So if you use it to fill an emptiness in you, not the emptiness of honest emptiness, but dishonest emptiness, meaning you have an anxiety, and therefore something rises to the occasion of your need, and it's the poisoned apple. And everything is poisoned when you eat it to escape, realizing something's wrong. When you revel in the pleasure of your food. I just remember that the board of directors bought me a car a long time ago. I didn't need it. But they all were happy to give me that. I'm talking about 40, 50 years ago. And they said, "How's it feel?" I said, "It doesn't feel anything, thanks." I drove away. I was appreciated, thank you. But I didn't have to have a feeling. The feeling is one of elation, and it kills your conscience, believe it or not. It kills the ability to love anything. And to do the best you can, because you have lost the ability to love, which is the fulfillment, and the civilized way of doing everything. It's not just food. But we take food as an extension of the food paradise lost. For this reason, you know, one man, death through sin spread to the human race. And also said, he said about the women, he said, "So shall a man leave his mother and father and be joined to the woman, one flesh," meaning he tends to look to the woman who needs to be, have the hell loved out of her. So you look to the woman for the love of the hell that's in her. And therefore, you tend to embrace it and pull it up. No wonder she's angry with you. But she doesn't understand her own anger, you see. So food is synonymous with temptation. And one is best to think, step back before you guzzle that, shove it down your throat. Because the truth of what's going to happen to you will be shoved down your throat. I've been through all these stages of illness and sickness like everybody else. And there's a story that will be told one day. But what I discovered that is these things, that why people die from food. They do. And food can actually give anything. Everything can become addicted. And so the voice of the lady friend who does little errands for us as a courtesy, the one I said, you know, take care. That is like, is the trigger. It doesn't have to be mother there anymore. It doesn't have to have a potato there anymore. The fact that you have an insecurity and a hunger for something will cause the potato, whatever it is, your favorite is, to appear in your head and make you hungry for it, as if you have to put it there because it's hungry there, it's empty there. But it's just a potato. It focuses in on a potato. And you focus on your dope pusher. I'm warning you, things around you, I will give you an example. So if you were Hitler, Germany, or Stalin, and you would see pictures of him everywhere. Wherever there's a tyrant, there are pictures and statues. And what does the pictures do? It does the same thing as, take care, I love you. Or you better do as I tell you, you little squirt. See, but you don't notice it. It triggers you, and you become an appeaser. And every now and then, there are people who try to overcome the overcomer, but it's too late. God help America, because you're all that way. There's hardly a person who isn't influenced in that way. All I have to do is find out what your influence is, what your problem is, and I can smell it a mile away. And so can the bad guy. So why do you think I jumped on the voice of that guy? Everybody has sympathy with it. They don't say anything, and therefore they support it. Do you understand that? Jesus says, I bother you, I correct you, so that you might be pure. He didn't hold his tongue back. He was not afraid to speak up to anybody. And some people will cringe and cringe away, fall away. Other people appreciate it. Do you really appreciate what I'm doing? Then why not support my program if you're not already doing it? Thank you. The number is 800-866-8883. And the program and the foundation is fhu.com. All right, and the address of the foundation is a post office address, it's a post office box address, 1000 Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Checks, if you will. And you can go to my website and do, what's that thing you do automatically? Auto debit. You have to remind me every time because I can't write it on a piece of paper. I can't do that. So you're going to have to help me, David, every now and then. Okay, thank you. All right, he's saying thank you, but I'm not, you can't hear him. All right, now, would you please support the foundation? If you already do, thank God bless you, pay it forward. You're letting other person have a life, and you're sharing what you're doing.